Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
It's a largely positive email.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, it is rare an email comes in with a compliment to anybody at Croke Park. I think I would echo that.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The video for that. Now, time to look ahead to the Ladies All-Ireland Senior Football Championship semi-final doubleheader. It's in Tullamore tomorrow evening. The games look forward to first up, Cork versus Galway at 5 p.m. and then at 7:15, it's Armagh versus Kerry, both games at Lidisk O'Connor Park in Tullamore. Delighted to welcome to the show the Kerry star Louise Galvin to look ahead to these games. Good morning, Louise.
Morning, lads. Right.
Keeping well. Two cracking semi-finals. I guess the Dubs being knocked out, similar to the men's game as well, has thrown the cat among the pigeons a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely one way to put it. I think, yeah, it was similar. It's actually very similar to the men's game of Galway knocking out Dublin and in the ladies as well after extra time in the quarterfinal in the last round. So that has set up a tie with Cork, which I think for both of those teams, they'd be quite happy to have gotten to this stage, particularly with how their season started. Both have been relegated to Division 1, relegated from Division 1 to Division 2, which it's been certainly a while since they were down in Division 2. So I think to get to an All-Ireland semi-final for both those teams will be seen as a bit of a success. But at the same time, they'll know that they're 60 minutes away from an All-Ireland final against a team that they'll have no fear of from either side. So that's definitely going to be a fascinating affair.
How much confidence, Louise, do you think the Galway will take from that game? Just considering the manner in which they won it as well. It was Evo Rourke with the late goal in that extra time to make the difference. Like, as a player, can you remember maybe occasions like that where you'll take a lot of confidence from a game going into something like an All-Ireland semi-final?
Yeah, I think, as you say, like, it's after extra time. It's, you know, if you're an underdog against a hot favourite and you get to full time and you've drawn level, sometimes you feel like you might have had your chance. So then if you come out of it, out of extra time, and you've won, it nearly makes it a bit more special. So yeah, the huge amount of confidence coming out of that. It's a kind of an it's a bit of a changed Galway team from last year. Obviously, Kilkerran Clonburn have had huge success in the Ladies Cup game. And a lot of this team are backboned, like the likes of the Ward sisters, Nicola and Louise, and the Divity sisters. But they actually don't have all those players available to play with them. I think the Noon sisters are away in America at the moment. They'd be a bit of a loss. They were there, thereabouts, you know, starting all the time last year. So it's kind of a different team. But similarly, with Cork, they have lost a lot of players last year, like the Sullivan sisters, who obviously have given unbelievable service to Cork. They stepped away, and I know they had a lot of injuries kind of in the bodies as well, the likes of Roisin Feeney. So what that has given the likes of Galway management and Shane Ronayne, Cork manager, is lots of games to blood this young new talent and the new team for both of them. I mean, you've seven league games, then I know Munster, you have another three round robin games for Cork and a Munster final, and then you have an All-Ireland qualifier series where you have another two games. So Galway, they'd have had just one game in Connacht, but again, they'd have had the league games and the All-Ireland qualifier games. So there's a lot of youth there who, as we know, can be a bit, you know, not a lot of fear in them. And they're after getting an awful lot of game time compared to maybe some of the stronger counties who haven't lost players. So they're going to be coming in. Both teams are kind of coming in from a similar position. That's what makes it fascinating. That, you know, neither have anything to lose. Both of them would have probably taken an All-Ireland semi-final, particularly when we're looking back end of March when they were looking at relegation. And both of them have had, you know, a really good, solid year for a lot of new players to try and blood them in. With still obviously having some of the more experienced players there to backbone them. They're also both, they like to run, very athletic, very fast. Cork just seem to have this constant production line of fit, fast footballers that, you know, obviously biggest county in Ireland and that fantastic team they had kind of through the noughties, and that just inspired so much Gaelic football throughout the county that they just have a constant flow of talent. And they're going to be, you know, difficult to topple. It's definitely going to be a fascinating one. I think it's going to be quite open.
Can that be the best thing possible for a team as well, Louise? As you say, like, sometimes putting the positive on a negative, when you lose key cogs in your panel. Like, as you say, both teams have, but Cork have certainly. Because it's such a poor league campaign, and then they come into the Championship, it felt like the Waterford game maybe was a turning point for them. But getting those minutes, as you say, into the legs of the younger players, it's only going to stand Cork in great stead in the next 2, 3, 4 years, never mind whatever happens tomorrow.
Yeah, it is a bit like that. They're definitely building solid foundations for the future. But at the same time, they don't need to look too far into the future. If they look at 60 minutes, they could be in Croke Park in an All-Ireland final for, I think, the first time since about 2021 or so, or even 2020. They're 60 minutes away from that. And like Shane will be trying to say that to all those younger players, like, you know, have absolutely no fear, tear into it. Anything can happen in a game of football. They've beaten Galway in the group stages as well. Now, that was at home in MTU. It was a tight enough game. They beat them the first round of the league in Cork, but I think we all know January football, wind, rain, how, you know, it doesn't probably reflect much for this stage of the season. But he'll be pumping that into his players that, look, we've played them twice, we've won. But similarly, Galway will be saying, we've just beaten the All-Ireland champions after extra time. They probably had a bit longer to wait for their more established players to come back, the Kilkerran and Clonburn girls, so they're probably a bit more settled now than they were earlier in the year. And then those girls have the experience of winning All-Ireland titles, be it at club level, but still they're going to bring that to the fold. So there's definitely, you know, a few different aspects playing into this one.
Would you think, Louise, that Galway are further along down the line at the minute? Like, it is the first time in 4 years that they're back in the semi-final, but I feel with this team, you nearly expected them to be in those semi-finals. They always had that squad there. They just were maybe unfortunate and lucky at times, but it feels like now might be their time, or how do you feel on that?
Yeah, and you know, at the start of the year, I thought they actually had lost some crucial players, but as I say, it's giving opportunity to other people to step up. Like that win is just going to be huge. It's whether they have then kind of come back down to earth after it. Again, this time of the season, as we know, it's 2 weeks between big championship games. So you don't even know, it doesn't come out of camps who's carrying a knock or a niggle, and that can all play into it as well. But I think even the likes of Aidish Morrissey come off the bench back from her ACL, knowing that they have that kind of impact, and they did have a lot of impact off the bench against Dublin as well. They're definitely going to bring confidence, but I think Cork will be lifting coming into it as well. So I actually am finding it really, really difficult to call, but I think it will be a fairly open running game, because I think that's how they both want to play. They have fast pacey, like Galway have the Divity sisters, Nicola Ward driving from centre back. She's a phenomenal player. Similarly, Cork have pace all over the field, and then they're kind of spearheaded with Katie Kirk up front. And for them, they've Emma Kylie back from an ACL. She started to come on the last few games. So, you know, they each have a kind of little, a few little tricks up the sleeve. So it'll just be a case of who actually wins the day. But I am finding it really hard to call.
Yeah, I think both of the semi-finals are really tough to call. Like, you look at Kerry Armagh as well. Like, obviously Armagh getting over Mayo, Kerry getting over Meath. Meath not really at it as maybe we've seen in the past couple of years. But for both of those teams, a massive opportunity. And for Armagh to be back in a semi-final, you know, it's been a long time for this team trying to get over that hurdle. The last three seasons falling at that point, and just always a quarter-final story for them. So to be up against Kerry, who have the experience as well of, as you well know, Louise, of All-Ireland finals in the last 2 years too.
Yeah, definitely another kind of very difficult one to call. I think there's a lot of like side angles with this one. Obviously, I think it was on before the league final saying how difficult it was. And when the league final happened, like Armagh were absolutely lifting. They were actually, when I was looking back at the score, they only won by 3. And it felt like it was up the game. It felt like it was 6 or 7. You know, they felt like they were significantly stronger than Kerry that day. But I didn't feel particularly panicked, because I suppose from a Kerry point of view, I think we certainly learned last year that, you know, sometimes you come out of Division 2, which is difficult to do, and the last thing you want to do is go down. So you put a bit of a focus on the first two games, just try and get points on the board. And then all of a sudden, you have a few wins and you see there's an opportunity maybe to get early silverware in Croke Park, get the team playing Croke Park for a league final. And I think last year we learned we probably maybe put a little bit too much emphasis on the league almost by accident. And then you don't rotate your squad as much. And we found it hard to maybe maintain or even progress from that stage. And we did great league final against Galway. I think Armagh, the one thing I worry about is how much more they could have improved from that league final performance. They were absolutely lifting the speed coming out of defence. They were moving. So if their S&C and their kind of training programme has managed to kind of almost let them, you know, come back down from that and then build back up again, then fair play to them. Whereas I think Kerry had more to improve from that league final. So I think that's kind of an interesting thing. But at the same time, Armagh have the psychology of, you know, Kerry have only lost twice this year. They were both Armagh. There was a way in the league, which was actually a really good game as well. And then there was in the league final. Some personnel changes since then that have, you know, probably a lot of impact. Obviously for Armagh, they've lost probably, you know, a generational player in Amy Macken. She's unfortunately, for every Gaelic football fan in the country, I mean that unfortunately, she's done her ACL again, because she is such a phenomenal player to watch. And that is obviously a huge blow for them. They have her sister, Blaheen, who's a super player, different type of player, but still a brilliant player. She's back in. And then for Kerry on the opposite side, around this stage last year, we lost Shifra before the semi-final. Shifra O'Shea to her second ACL, and she's come on the last few games. So she got 20 minutes in the group game against Donegal, a half against Waterford, banged in a goal, and then a half against, or just under a half, I think it's against Meath, and kicked three unreal points. So I think those kind of little changes in personnel could be part of swinging it out as well.
These players are becoming heroes, aren't they, Louise? Because Amy Macken, who you mentioned, and her Anne Blaheen as well, Kelly Mallon, they're all heroes up in Armagh to young girls and boys. And you saw the great photograph after, I think it was after the quarterfinal, it was at down in Tralee against Meath, the photograph of Louise Nimora Hurtig signing the back of a jersey. Forgive me, I can't remember the journalist who took the photo and put it on Twitter, but just a lovely moment. Kids obsessing over these players, and they're really becoming household names, not just within their own counties.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like, and I have to say, like, even when Mac did ACL, and as someone from an opposition county, you're actually crestfallen, because it's the game that's losing out when someone like that is taken out of it. Obviously, like, you know, it looks on the outside like an easier battle for Kerry when she's not there. Now, if they think that, of course, obviously they'll fall into a sense of complacency, but at the same time, you don't want the game to lose a player like her for a year, because they bring so much to it. And absolutely, like, these players, they are role models. And the thing is, they're the length and breadth of each county, the length and breadth of the country. Like the likes of Louise, the effect that she has down here is phenomenal, and it's just brilliant to see. And she's someone who would naturally shy away from any limelight, any interviews, which is really good at giving time to the kids, because I think she realised over the few years the positive impact she can have. And actually, she's almost, I don't want to say too giving of her time, but trying to get her off the field after a game can be can be difficult, because they're all queuing up for her. But it's absolutely brilliant to see. Like, it's, you know, it's to see the amount of kids, even in Ossenstack Park the last day for the Kerry Meath game. And likewise, the Meath girls did that in Meath as well. Like, Park Dalton and Avon has been absolutely hopping for kind of the bigger home championship, home league games over the last few seasons. So, you know, it's brilliant, because I know growing up, you'd be just hankering for like a female athlete or team to really look up to and to try and be visible and to go and to try and meet. And now we're getting more of that. And obviously the likes of the TG Cahers, the Off the Balls, the different media outlets that are driving that kind of, I suppose, prolific nature of the game is helping. I also think it's a pretty good product, and it's only growing as well, and that helps.
Yeah, and I think when you see these injuries, it's absolutely terrible, but I suppose then it's about reacting and giving other players an opportunity. And I think with Armagh, Niamh Henderson is a player in particular who's really stepped up. Like, I was speaking to her after that quarterfinal, and she was saying she had a 9-year absence from the game. She, you know, she had her little boy, she took time out, and now here she is, you know, in an All-Ireland semi-final with her little boy running onto the pitch afterwards to her. I thought it was incredible. And obviously yourself, Louise, you have done that, so you know what that's like. And we're seeing it across the game, even in the international game as well. Julianne Russell doing it for Ireland. You know, it's just incredible to see that this is becoming more of the norm, that, you know, that this is possible and it's a great message to get across.
Yeah, I actually didn't realise that about Niamh Henderson, so fair play to her. But yeah, listen, I'm all over it. I actually have a smile on my face all week since Julianne Russell, both the England game and the French game down in Cork. Like, it's phenomenal. And the image that it's painting, the barriers that it's breaking, the glass ceilings. I have to give a shout out as well to my former housemate and teammate, Ashley Baxter.
Yeah,
now Orchard,
incredible.
With the sevens, who is the most, again, unassuming girl, but like the hardest working girl, and has had a lot of injury issues over the year that actually more caused her to step away from sevens. And then she goes away as her baby girl comes back, and now she's made a very competitive Olympic 12. And this is a girl, like, she wouldn't be well known, but like, she played on the wing as a 19-year-old against the All Blacks in the 2014 World Cup. So, like, she's part of the first team to ever beat the All Blacks in Ireland. And now she's going to the Olympics at the sevens, and 10 years later with her daughter. It's an incredible story. And again, it's showing the likes of the FEI, the IRFU. I know here in Kerry, I got tremendous support from, like, management, county board, in terms of bringing my baby along to matches overnight. It could not have been better. And hopefully they're not, you know, the exceptions. It's more becoming the norm that people can, you know, have the break, have their kid and come back on board if that's what they want to do. I still think there's a way to go and actually research sports science, and instead of it being left up to the mother to really kind of find her own way to do it, to actually maybe be a bit more streamlined. But, you know, that's at least it's a start.
Yeah, because I think Ashley was maybe the first to do it. I was speaking to Stacey Flood yesterday just about it all, and she said that she has her little girl, Arabella, in the camp with them. And, you know, they love it. They said it's amazing to have her there, but it is the first of its kind, really, with the IRFU. So I suppose, as you said, Louise, there's a way to go, but it's good steps, and it's positive that we're seeing it.
Yeah, and I remember a few years ago in the series, like New Zealand, Colin McAllister, she would have brought her baby on with New Zealand. We were in Dubai and the baby's in the pool. And that's, sometimes you need to see another country do it to realise, well, this is actually kind of normal. But I remember worrying about that, about bringing a baby into such a competitive environment. But actually, I find it just kind of dispels things that, I don't know, it just makes people a bit relaxed. Like, I've brought a baby into a losing All-Ireland final dressing room because I had to feed him, and actually nearly trying to hide him from everyone because they were so upset. But in ways, people were like, oh, give me the baby. Do you know, everyone just wants a cuddle, everyone just wants any sort of a pick me up. So I think if you've the kind of the right supportive environment, I think it can be seen as a positive. And in terms of women's sport in general, then it is, because we don't want to lose people, because they obviously need to look at family planning and that sort of thing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I remember the wasn't it Brenda McInnespy, the Monaghan legend, who spoke in a documentary years ago about being pregnant during the 1997 All-Ireland final and telling out all her teammates in the dressing room afterwards. Mad. But it's amazing. I remember doing a pregnancy panel on the show on a Saturday. Like, that. I'd imagine the care there for athletes postpartum in Ireland is definitely on the... It's improving. It's an issue that seems to have come more to the fore in recent years as well, Louise. Like, it's not just a case of you're forgotten about, you take your whatever it is, year, 2 years, 3 years off the sport. You're actually a part of the whole process, and teams certainly keep those players involved.
Yeah, look, I think at a professional level, I know Sport Ireland have brought out that if you're like a carded athlete, you get so many months. I don't have it off the top of my head. I suppose I was thinking more of All-Ireland semi-finals, but I have read it before. If you're a carded athlete now, there is a protection amount for your time pregnant and for a certain amount of months postpartum. Obviously, the likes of your GA, they're completely amateur. So, I mean, the season, the year, you know, the team changes year to year anyway. So it's starting conversations. Nothing like this is ever done very quickly. But I think bringing into like the likes of the FEI or the IRFU as well, where they actually have contracts, kind of almost maternity policies, is definitely the way to go, because we're talking about trying to train players up. And if you have someone and you've put a lot of money into them and invested a lot of resources and time coaching from age maybe 18 up until between 7 and 28, and they want to have a baby, like, if you haven't done that, then you could lose them forever. Whereas you could also see it as taking a year out and they're back the following year if you've kind of the right systems in place. Yeah. So I think it can be seen more so as a win situation and that you're holding on to talent. And also those players then setting an example for the younger girls who might want to do the same thing. But this is actually, I don't want to say lifelong, but in terms of a sporting career, a lifelong option that you can have a family, start a family and come back and play. And so many people around the world have shown that you can do it. And I think, I don't know if you've seen as well, Alison Felix is involved in setting up like the Olympics, like a little daycare.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone, like even kids, like even breastfeeding moms can bring babies into the Olympic Village as far as I know. So again, maybe in time that'll change as well.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah,
step in the right direction for sure. Before we get your final predictions, Louise, like just think back to last year's final defeat for Kerry and for Declan Quill and Dara Long, the joint managers. It definitely felt for a lot of people that this was the end of the era. 4 years in charge, family commitments coming into the fray as well. This would be some story if they could win tomorrow and go on to win the All Ireland title. Especially given what happened last year.
Oh, yeah, it'd be huge. And the lads, and to be honest, there's been small changes in the backroom team, but the majority of the management team have been there since the beginning. And I just think it was a real kind of, I suppose, real soul searching for them to see could they do it for one more year. And just as you say, it's their whole families. It's not just them. They each have 2-3 kids, wives at home. And they're all completely invested. Actually met Declan, bumped into him, and he was saying, I think it's his wife, has a big birthday this weekend. The party just cancelled or postponed, I should say. So like that's because of the match. So that's what you're talking about going on like 3-4 years. So it would be huge. But if they start thinking about that now, then Armagh are going to have their number tomorrow. So the lads are just going to be focused. I think they've done a really good job this year in trying to uncover some more talent, more depth, adding more pace into the team. I think we've seen some good changes. We've seen less reliance on Louise Niebuhr-Hertig, which has been huge, and a bit more of some of the other forwards. Like, and it's varied. So you could have Danielle O'Leary step up, Emma Dineen, Hannah O'Donoghue. And as I mentioned, Sheifa O'Shea hasn't even got a starting place yet, and she is absolutely lifting. So I really look forward to seeing what she can do. That no one deserves to be dropped, but I don't know how she is staying out of the team. So it gives me a lot of faith in the 6 forward starting if Sheifa doesn't make it, I'll put it to you that way. So I think they've done a really good job in improving from last year, changing things. But as we know, all Ireland's don't fall into your lap. So big day tomorrow to see if you can get over the line and push on from there.
Which two teams do you think will be in the All Ireland come 9 p.m. tomorrow evening, Louise?
I suppose, I don't know, is it my head or my heart, but I am backing Kerry to win. I think since the league final, they've improved enough, and I'm not sure if Armagh have, or if they've kind of stayed kind of stagnant. And as I said, the changes in personnel. And then in terms of Galway Cork, I actually think that's incredibly difficult to call on. But I think, I don't know, is it Cork's pedigree over the years? When they get to this stage, they're very hard to beat. They just have that confidence. Underage up all up along, they tend to win All Ireland under 14, under 16. So I think those young players had that kind of rawness about them and lack of fear, along with just enough of the older players there to steer them. So I wouldn't be surprised to go away win, but if I have to call someone, I think I might give it to Cork.
All right, really looking forward to those games, Louise. Thanks so many for joining us this morning.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Louise.
Brilliant stuff, Louise Galvin, Kerry star there. Cork versus Galway at 5 p.m. tomorrow, and at 7:15 then Armagh versus Kerry. It's a double header at Linlithgow Connaught Park in Tullamore to look forward to in the All Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship semi-finals.